More details at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning. Good morning, everybody. It is 7:05 in the morning. And news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center is compassion, community, and caring right here in the center of downtown Reading. Good morning, Bad Bob. Oh, well, wait a minute. I forgot. Bad Bob, while he's here, it is Ashley.
Yes.
Who is in charge now of the production while Bob's back there building a new system. Good morning, though, Bad Bob, anyway.
There we are. Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. And are you, I see you're busy over there with all your equations and your, and all of the wires.
Diagrams.
Yeah. I hope you know what you're doing here.
Not a clue.
No. Well, you always have before, for the most part. A lot of times, though, we've sat there and looked at something, and, you know, but the one thing that's been on the wall now for 10 years says, don't cut the red wire.
I think the red wire was retired ages ago, but the admonition lingers on.
But that's true. It may not be a red wire, but it means. We all know what it means. Don't cut the red wire. Okay, Ashley, good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you?
Doing all right.
Good. You look as usual, chipper and ready to go.
Yay.
Okay.
Hey, chopped wood yesterday.
Chopped wood.
Yeah, it was the first time in a while. Because my friend is the only person left in my life with a wood stove, so I helped her chop wood.
I have a friend that's got a wood stove. They live off the grid. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
They use it all the time. I mean, that's what they use.
Yeah.
So you were into the chips then. You were looking chipper because you were cutting wood and getting wood chips.
Yep.
Okay, what's the wood look like?
We are looking at a high near 59 today, almost 60, which is quite pleasant for this time of year. North wind will keep those temperatures high. Tonight, 37, and then tomorrow, 62, and just slight winds throughout the week. Thursday's going to have the most winds with gusts as high as 25 miles per hour, but everything else is going to be pretty much the same of low 40s and mid 60s throughout the week.
Oh, that's great. Hey, the weather reports are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson. They have discounts for seniors and veterans, plus payment plans. And if you've been struck by the car fire or the campfire, and you have and you're back on your property in an RV or you know, another type of living situation there, and you're using propane gas, and you're trying to utilize those 7-gallon tanks, give Shasta Gas Propane a call at 365-3793, and they're going to try and find a way to get a 120-gallon tank up on the property so that you will have gas, so you don't have to keep changing it out when that's dangerous and having to move it, have them come down, fill it up, 7-gallon tank, and bring it back. But you need to give them a call at 365-3793, and they're going to do it at a very, 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 very fair cost to you. They just want to help you. Time 7:08 in the morning, 605-4567 is our phone number. And things that are going on, when you see that they've already put a $21 million into a study for raising a dam at Shasta, which will raise the, it's an 18-foot dam, which will add another like 14% to the amount of water that's in there. But the state of California now refuses to issue any permits because they say it's against state law. Because raising the dam will then push the water back up into the McLeod River and the trout fishery there, and it's against the law to do anything to impede the McLeod River or imperil the trout fisheries. So if they don't give them the state approval, what goes on then? I don't know if the feds can work around it. I'm not sure that Doug Lamoff is that strong on raising the dam by 18 feet. I know how strong he is on the site's reservoir, which is another thing, is why can't we get that money for the site's reservoir and get moving on that. I don't see the problem with that. It's, you know, it's all you're doing is moving some dirt around, and we'll have another way of keeping the water. Of course, the people that are against it say, oh, it's just for farmers. It's just for farmers. Well, excuse me, the last time I looked, without farming, you don't have food. And I'm not sure where that argument goes to. I mean, it's jobs, it's food on the table, it's also water for other things that go, you know, that goes down that river, that they can hold this water. They're not having to, it's not like you're pumping it out of the ground. It comes from the river itself. It's able to hold it in the site's reservoir. I'm not sure what the opposition is for this. I don't know if it's a global warming thing or what. If it's just, I just don't want to have a site's reservoir because I have myself and my other three friends don't think it's a good idea, and so we'll put a lawsuit up against it. Which seems to be a lot of the problems that we have nowadays, is that anybody and themselves and a lawyer can file a lawsuit, whether it's to keep you from managing your own forest on land that you own, to fight the government from managing their forest on the federal lands or state lands. I don't understand why it takes years to get through the court system to be able just to cut down trees on your own property or to make a living like Sierra Pacific does. They figure from the time they say they're going to cut a tree to the time they can actually do it is over 2 years. 2 years, because they've got to go through all the procedures, all the permits, but in any court fights they go through too. 2 years. Why should it take that long? For something like that to happen with your own property. Especially if here's the forest plan, here's how we're going to do it. You know, it's not clear cutting, we're thinning, we're doing this and this and this. And yet it is still fought by certain groups of people. But there is happiness in the region. Why? Kamala Harris is running for president. Our own Kamala Harris. Used to be the Attorney General of the state. Now is the state senator. Been there almost a year. She's been there for 2 years. She's ready for president. She's looking at an Obama run, just like Obama was. And she has more experience than Obama ever did. Obama was an organizer, community organizer, and then won a Senate seat. When his opponent was found to have, and when they somehow got a hold of his opponent's divorce records and released him and found out that his wife had claimed that he had forced her to have sex with other people in swingers clubs or something like that. So he just dropped out of the race, and wow, lo and behold, Barack Obama was the senator from Chicago or from Illinois. And then he came on, and then I guess, you know the rest of the story. Well, is this what Kamala wants? She says, sees herself as another person that can come rolling in here who is attractive, is articulate, but has no grasp on things, who wants to change our country completely, who wants to change our country into a socialist-type atmosphere. But, Kamala Harris, taking the Democratic Party forward and to the left. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back after these messages, but I want to talk about Sleep Number. Sleep Number is one of those businesses you can get behind. Why? Because it leads to one thing. It leads to sleep, better production, better ability to run through your day. But if you're not sleeping well at night, and we've all run into this before, if you're not sleeping well at night, then your day, the rest, when your day starts, you're starting to lag a couple of hours after that. You need a good night's sleep. What does Sleep Number do? It provides you the ability to adjust the firmness of your mattress for you and for your partner. Whoever's in there, you don't have to settle for having one mattress firmness that maybe just doesn't quite work all the time. With Sleep Number, you can adjust it. My Sleep Number setting is 60. Linda's Sleep Number setting is 40. And that's fine. And we both perform well with much more sleep. And that allows us to do it. And with the new 360 smart beds, that as you move around during the night, it adjusts to you. As you move, it moves. It adjusts to you and how you move through the night. This is Sleep Number. And right now in January, they can save up to $500 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds. They're down at the Target Shopping Center. So head on down there. Go on down. Lay in one. Find out how good they are and what a good night's sleep is worth. Sleep Number. We'll be right back after these messages. We'll be right back.
year's resolution? How about joining us, Armstrong and Getty?
For the morning lineup, right here on KCNR from 9 to 12.
Are you ready for cage fights at Wind River Resort and Casino? The best place in Northern California to offer MMA cage fighting. Fight Night 40. This intense, action-packed fight is presented by Wind River Resort and Casino and Rogue Fights. Extreme mixed martial arts. Cage fighting at the Event Center on Saturday, January 26th. It's in the cage. Full contact fighting. No limits. Bringing you another night of extreme fighting in Reading. Amateur, title, and pro fights. This event sells out. Get your tickets now. Call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN to reserve a room in our hotel. Up to 12 bouts of MMA in the cage on Saturday, January 26th. The Event Center will roar with the thrill of extreme cage fights Wind River Resort and Casino is bringing you. Don't miss this event. Get your tickets now online or at the River Club. Great entertainment is happening with Fight Night 40 at Wind River Resort and Casino. Must be 21 to attend. Download the Wind River app. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino. Fight Night 40. It's in the cage. The Event Center. Wind River Resort and Casino.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on Them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about Them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best? Improve your health with OsteoStrong. Not a drug, not a gym, just 10 minutes a week. One thing we all have in common, a skeletal system. By implementing the OsteoStrong strategy, you may experience the following results. Less joint and back pain, improved bone density, improved posture, improved balance, and improved athletic performance. To learn more about OsteoStrong, visit Linda and Ken in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, 243 Athens Avenue, or give them a call at 215-3115.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR 1460, 718 in the morning, and it's 41 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day, up to almost 60 degrees today. No rain. Look at, you know, if I'm looking at that sunrise this morning out of the our window on the world, and it's beautiful out there. It's red, and it looks like it's going to be a great day. Weather Report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Jewelry. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. They have the only full-service jewelry store in town. They have watch repair. He sits in there, and he can fix any type of watch. He can build watches from scratch. And, of course, they have a full selection of any type of jewelry you're looking for at very, very fair prices. 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Okay, the Have you been reading about what's happened in the media lately? I mean, everybody talks about fake news, and the president gets on. Everybody goes, "Oh no, 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 no!" It's, you know, he's saying the media is the enemies of the people of the United States, and he doesn't say that. What he says is fake news is the enemy of the people of the United States. And so what's happened is the media just constantly gives him new ammunition, new fodder, when they make such stupid, stupid mistakes. And then the people that just want to believe bad things about kids that wear a Make America Great Again hat, they just can't wait because they're obviously bigot, racist, homophobic people that wear that. Not that you believe that America, you know, is a great country and you're not racist or homophobic, but that hat means that you are. So over the weekend, they had, of course, the March for Life. And a group of teenagers came down from the Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky, I think Covington, Kentucky. They came down to march in the Right for Life parade. Well, after they did their thing, and they were out, they were waiting for their buses. And this is when it starts. They're waiting for their buses, and a group of four black, I think they called them Hebrew Israelis, started assaulting them verbally and saying nasty, really nasty things to them, and calling them names and saying things that were, you know, racist, you know, homophobic, you know, the whole thing. They go through the whole list. You know what it's like. Well, then a Native American drummer, singer and drummer comes up, and he comes up to this one young man who is from this high school, and the young man doesn't move. I mean, he's just standing there, and he beats the drum in the kid's face. I mean, he doesn't beat the kid with the drum. He just beats on the drum in front of the kid. Well, somebody recorded that, and then it immediately goes viral, saying is that these kids were yelling, you know, and then the guy walks away and said, "Hey, I was in danger. I was in fear of my life. They were attacking these four black men. I went over there to rescue them," and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And this immediately goes viral. And these kids are just cascaded. This one young man, oh, the things they were saying about him, including wishing he was dead, you know, all these things. Hollywood stars piled on, Jamie Lee Curtis, all these others piled on. So what a horrible person this is, and these kids, these Catholics, you know, people, well, you know, I'm a Catholic, and I just wish they weren't doing that thing for my, you know, it's my church too. It was horrible. And then, guess what? The rest of the story, the whole video came out. Eyewitness accounts came out. And it turns out it wasn't the kids that were doing this. It was the four Hebrew Israelites. I think that's what the way to describe them. We're saying these things to the kids. The kids weren't saying it to them. And then the guy with the drum comes up, and he initiated contact. The kid that this thing, all this happened to, I think his name is Cashman or something. He writes a letter, says, I will not have my character assassinated like this over things that aren't true. And he says, you need to see the whole thing. I didn't do anything. None of us were saying anything. When these adults, and that's the term he used, when these adults came over and started saying these things to us, we were there with our, you know, with our chaperones, and nobody did anything, and this is just wrong. As it turns out, when the whole video comes out, he was exactly right. He didn't do anything. Those kids didn't do anything. They were set upon by adults who just didn't like the fact that they were there from a Catholic high school. They were white. And they were wearing, and one of them was wearing Make America Great Again hat. That's the whole thing. And it was so, if it came out and it was so blatantly false that all of these news organizations, CNN and all these that had been putting this out there, blasting it out in their videos, started removing it. Okay, did you get that? They just removed it. The original one just removed it. Did they say anything like, hey, we're sorry, we reacted to this too fast? Of course not. Individuals said, you know what, I didn't see the whole story. You know, you would think by now I'd learn to look at both sides. Jamie Lee Curtis came out and apologized and said, you know, you don't judge a book by its cover, and I should have never said anything until I knew both sides. Of course, the rest of the Hollywood crowd didn't believe that, and you know, they piled on and said, well, Making America Great Hat Again is really just this year's motto of the Ku Klux Klan, hood. All of this. All of this. So every time things like this happen, people just look at it and say, I mean, Ashley, Bob, well, Bob's over there actually working there. But if you can get in this, how much of the news do you, I mean, do you even watch the news or even the commentary anymore? Either one of you. Do you watch the news or the commentary? How much of the news do you really believe?
I found myself watching the national news last night, as a matter of fact. And as a recovering journalist, I was appalled. And this was the ABC News. And the tone, the body language, the sneering at the president just infuriated me. I was unable to finish watching it. It was not objective journalism by any possible stretch of the imagination. And I will be fair, Fox journalists do the same thing.
Well, you know, and here's the thing is they've done a study from a college or university that says they looked at all this news for like 6 months, and 90% of the news was against Trump. 90% of the news were stories that were negative on Trump or his administration.
Mm-hmm.
10% out of all the news, and how many articles, hundreds and hundreds of articles, were negative.
Yeah.
Ashley?
Yes, I came from a news station, broadcast television before coming here, and one of the things I did was I would take the CNN or ABC scripts and make them ours, basically, before we put them on the air. But I spent a lot of time trying to make things passive about the facts instead of about the opinion, translating it back from the opinion to the facts. Even simple stories that had nothing to do with politics. There had to be something in there.
Now, were you there for the Sinclair debacle?
Yes.
Can you kind of outline that? Because that was a big brouhaha.
Was it a debacle? Because they said they wanted their stations to say, "Hey, look, we're gonna tell you what the news is. We're not gonna be opinionated."
Well, it depends on your point of view.
The difficulty was they were opinionated in the other direction. So there were what we called must-runs. And so we had to... they sent us packages that had to be run during certain times of the day. And we had five or six. And they were all blatantly pro-Trump, which just had the knee-jerk reaction of making everything else in the newscast anti-Trump. And we got away from the news itself. And that's why a lot of people left the building. There was a mass exodus, and some names more public than others, but a lot of the people who stayed, they were staying to fight this, not because they agreed with it.
As one of those recovering journalists myself, like I said, I tend to try to put objective reporting ahead of political considerations, and that's gone.
Yeah, absolutely gone.
Well, I think that when we talked to this one kid, there was one young person that had written an article. You know, we got him in from national, you know, on the national level. And he was at Columbia School of Journalism. And one of the things he said was here they're telling us is that why is this story happening and how you feel about it. I mean, this is journalism. I mean, you know, why is this story happening? Well, and how, you know, your take on it. I mean, it's what happened to the what, when, where, how,
mm-hmm.
you know, now they're putting in feelings.
Well,
and you know what? There's no place in news for feelings.
I would dispute that slightly. The difference between cold reporting, like reading off a police report verbatim, which, trust me, you don't want to do that on the air. Subject A and subject B, blah, 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 and the incident happened. But you have to humanize it. But you have a line and a responsibility to humanize it, but keep it objective.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you know, see, I disagree with that totally, and I'll tell you why. Once you start humanizing it, you bring in your feelings into it. To me, the news is the news. It's what's happened. It's like that poor couple that was murdered in Reno. What they didn't say in it was that two other people had been murdered in Reno. Under kind of the same auspices. Well, they catch the guy. What should have been the tagline underneath the headline? Murderer caught. illegal, illegal alien arrested for murder of this couple. That's the truth. Where did you ever see the part that he was an illegal? Down in the third paragraph. And why were they looking for this guy? Because ICE had given them a heads up that this guy was in the area. That's why they found him. Did you see anything in there? Objective reporting is illegal alien kills four. Arrested for killing, like I shouldn't say kills, arrested for murders of four. Because that's what the story is. It's truth. And you're not, you're not getting your feelings into it. It's truth. And then when you don't say it to us in the end, now you've got your emotions in it. You see, to me, it's news. It's happened. It's black and white. There's no gray in news.
Even in the example you gave, though, there is an opinion.
There is a bias.
Yeah. What's the bias?
True pyramid reporting, murder. Murder of couple by suspect. Believed to be illegal, suspect was illegal. Okay,
right.
That would be a pyramid recording.
So murdered couple. What?
You led. Your point of your pyramid was that this person is that an illegal person committed the act. The point of the pyramid is that there was a murder.
So you're saying, okay, murder. What? How would you say it? Murder suspect arrested.
Yeah.
That's a really boring headline.
But
put that out there.
But
serial murder. A murderer arrested.
Yeah.
Second one is illegal alien arrested by police for suspicion of these murders.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Okay. Okay. I can go like that. You know what? And I can see your pyramid there, but it still comes down to me. News is black and white. That's why it's printed on newspapers. Black, white. Okay. That may be reaching there. But the bottom line on this is I don't need gray. I'm gray. Mm-hmm. In the sense that I'm looking at it and I can put my emotions into it. This show here is not a news show. This is an opinion show. Though I will tell you the facts as I read them. These are the facts as I read them. But then I tell you what I think about them.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris is running for governor. I'm running for president. I think it's ludicrous and I think it's scary because I think maybe she has a shot at it. And that's the really scary thing because I look at her as as an Obama type that can come in there but I don't know if she's as personable. First of all, I don't think she's as personable as Barack Obama was personable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that she can command, she cannot command the airwaves like Barack Obama could. I mean, this guy was so good.
Well, if the airwaves just handed over,
but they handed it over to him.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, look, we got to take a quick break here. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Clyde's Enterprises. Clyde's Enterprises, the original and still the best. Specializing in home electronics and classic car parts, over 47 years in the business, locally owned and operated by Clyde Pierce. 1250 Hartnell Avenue, or give him a call at 221-4144. That's Clyde's Enterprises, the original and still the best. 7:33 in the morning here on the 22nd of January. 2019. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. We'll be right back after these messages. Give us a call, 605-4567.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
The holidays. Whether you're eating solo or treating your family, Pasta Pronto is here for you. It's a fabulous approach to traditional Italian food. Pasta Pronto is committed to provide fresh, satisfying meals and fast, friendly service in an upbeat setting. Pasta Pronto is family-owned. Martin and his staff will treat each guest as a valued friend, with comfort and satisfaction their highest priority. Pasta Pronto, 920 Hilltop, next to Reading Sports.
For over 45 years, the Original Clyde's TV is the place people turn to for locally owned, name brand recognition and offering home delivery service. You know that you're getting the best quality with Clyde's TV. Clyde's has it all, from home stereo systems to 150-inch televisions. We are an authorized Dish Network provider. Not only will you be getting competitive prices on your home electronics, but Clyde's knowledgeable staff will install your home entertainment system to your specifications.
I'm Clyde, and I have been serving in North State for over 45 years. I'm an authorized Klipsch, Yamaha, Sony, Samsung, and LG dealer. We offer setup and even haul away your old electronics free of charge. If you're looking for that hard-to-find video audio accessory, we have it. We offer discounts to military personnel. Come see us at Clyde's Enterprises, located at 1250 Hartnell Avenue here in Reading.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bylanders on assignment this morning. We're here at 7:37 in the morning. It's 41 degrees. It's going to go up to almost 60 today. It's going to be a beautiful day here on the 22nd of January 2019. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Go down to Cornerstone Community Bank. Find out how they are moving local dreams forward. Your businesses are being taken care of very well, and your personal accounts taken care of very well by the people at Cornerstone Community Bank. A Reading Rancheria is offering free meals to furloughed federal government employees. Just head on down there and get a free meal to those affected by the government's shutdown. Government employee and one guest can receive a $15 comp each for one meal a day through February 18th, or till the government shutdown ends. You can bring your current pay stub, nothing older than 2018, or the federal government ID with valid photo to the River Club located inside Wind River Resort and Casino. You get a free River Club card and you go over and get the meal. Offer to receive a $15 comp each for one meal a day is available till, like we said, February 18th or until the government shutdown is over. So that's pretty nice of Wind River. Okay, the other story I had was to, I can't see this. Oh, we have a phone call. Okay, I can't see this. Did you type it in here? I can't see who's on the line.
We have Bob from Reading on the line.
Thank you. Bob, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Carl, and everybody else. I hope you're having a great day here. You know, the Democrats always stand up about how prim and proper and legal you are supposed to be to run for office. You've been talking about Kamala Harris. Go on your iPhone or your computer, ask it how she started her government start in California. and they'll get you in touch and tell you what her and Willie Brown did for 6 years to get her where she is today. And it's not too clean. So why is she even running for office?
Okay,
especially what she did to Kavanaugh.
Well, that's true, but she can run for office because she's already in there. But you know, I don't know. I'd have to go back and see what that about Willie Brown and Kamala Harris.
About 19 years ago, just ask your iPhone; it comes up. We have done it. About 80 of us have done it, and I'll tell you, she slept her way to the top. I'm sorry to say, but so it's not the people. How can you say someone else can't do something and you do it and it's okay?
I don't know. You can't say that. You can't say
that.
Well,
that's what she does.
Well, I tell you what. Well, you know, I'll go look that up. But, you know, her ability to lead, in my opinion, is from what I've seen so far. And let's just use the Kavanaugh. Use the Kavanaugh hearing. She went after him because of an unsubstantiated account. Now, she was the attorney general of this state. And what would happen if her people, her prosecuting attorneys, and all of these people went after somebody on an unsubstantiated account about something that happened 30 years ago, and if they had gone down and said arrested somebody for this, she would have thrown them out. She would have thrown it out of court. She would have never gotten to court. So she is, you know, she is one of those people that's an opportunist, as Hillary Clinton is, as many of them are. They're opportunists that they will snatch on anything at all to push themselves forward, no matter what it costs to the woman. In this case, it was a woman, and Dianne Feinstein threw her underneath the bus. And I lost any respect I had for Feinstein at that moment. And then they did anything to destroy this man. Well, it didn't work. The people saw through it, and the senators held tight. They said, "You're wrong. You're wrong." And so now Kavanaugh's on the bench. And, you know, I hope that this doesn't affect him. I hope that he does rule as he said he would through the Constitution. Yep. And he doesn't, when something comes up and he says, I remember this. I remember these people. They were totally against, they were totally for throwing me out of office or not letting me become a Supreme Court justice for nothing. I didn't do anything, and they wanted me out. Now, I hope he doesn't let that cloud his feelings. Well, in some cases, I do.
I hope he doesn't, but all I hope is that America straightens up, does the proper things that they're supposed to do, because the United States of America, being the most powerful country in the world, looks like a slum right now.
Well, I think we can do better than we are, for sure.
Yes, a lot better.
Okay. All right, well, thanks a lot.
Have a great day.
You bet.
Thank you.
According to the website Truth or Fiction, Kamala Harris did, at one time during the 1990s, have an affair with Willie Brown, famous politician of the Bay Area. At the time, she was working as an attorney in various city offices. Brown, 30 years Harris's senior, he at that time was mayor of San Francisco. He, Willie Brown, of course, noted for his eccentric, outspoken life and his many exploits with women. According to the site, though, while that is true, the accusations that this was a direct bridge to her political career remains somewhat cloudy. So it's a matter of opinion. Obviously, Bob has his. I don't have enough data to form my own.
Well, I think what he's saying is something that was pretty much accepted, though, right? Or was it said it was accepted? Or was this just it wasn't accepted?
Rumors that the California Democrat, I'm reading off of Truth or Fiction here. I know you don't like Snopes, so I looked up Truth or Fiction. Okay. I don't know what every site has an agenda behind it. Let's be truthful about that.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have a police report to read verbatim.
And you're not going to know that, probably.
And neither of us were there.
True.
Rumors that the California Democrat used a relationship with former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown to launch her political career years later are mostly, underlined mostly, fiction. That's from Truth or Fiction site.
Okay. All right. I'll give her a pass. Okay. Here's the other thing, though. Let's go back to fake news again. I've got one more. BuzzFeed. Mm-hmm. BuzzFeed came out last week, and they obtained a first ever. A first ever when they came out and said that Trump had ordered Cohen to lie to Congress about Trump's dealings with the Russians about a new Trump Tower in Russia. They came out, said they had it substantiated by two people inside the investigation, blah, 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 blah. And Mueller, for the first time ever, came out and said, and made a statement that said, that story is patently untrue. Mm-hmm. There is nothing about this story. It's true. It didn't come from any of our sources. We have not found anything like that. A total slam dunk on BuzzFeed and the media that immediately jumped into this and started screaming, impeach. This is it. This is the nail in the coffin. This is the smoking gun. Impeach, impeach. This is all of the far left and their sycophants that were with them. And then Mueller comes out and says, that's not true. It didn't happen. And it just, everything came to a stop. And was there apologies? No. No, they didn't back off. And in fact, BuzzFeed says, well, you know, he got on the air with MSNBC and said, well, you know, we haven't, did you see the documents? Well, no, but the other guy did. And we can't get into details about this. We can't get into details about this. You know, you attack the president again. See, this whole thing with the media is, let's just throw enough, you know, cow patties on the wall. One of them's bound to stick someplace, and people will believe it. Well, no, you see, you're getting this absolutely backfire on you that you throw so much stuff up that even if something was true, you don't believe it. You know what? I wouldn't have believed that story until I saw a document with Trump's signature on it and him signing it and saying, I did that. I wouldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. And because they have gotten me so, so inured. So, you know what? I am so, jaded from everything they're throwing out that I don't believe anything. And I think most of the people, unless you're these really, you know, far left people, don't believe it. They just, I mean, everybody just goes, you know what, it's just another story that's not true. Even the Democrats, I believe, think that. It doesn't mean they love Trump or they love everything he's doing, but I think that everybody's just tired of what the media's done. The media has turned themselves into a bunch of prostitutes. That's the very least I can say. Prostitutes. That where they take money for just saying anything. Mm-hmm. And they'll say anything because they were wrong about Trump. They were wrong about the nation, what the nation thought. And they have never been able to get over their mistake. So now they have to pull down the lion, all the jackals and dingoes and all those wild dogs, and have to come down and try to pull him down, because if they pull him down, that means they were right. That's just the whole thing. That's the whole thing. And Hollywood, get off it. Who cares what you think? You know what? Y'all are nothing but an inbred group of people that give each other awards that nobody cares about movies nobody's seen, nobody's heard about. And you say things like, you know, like you are the authority. If you go back and take a look at these people, they've got a high school degree, maybe. Maybe they have a high school degree. Does that mean that they can't be smart? Of course not. But they get into things that are totally out of their purview and out of their line.
I think we are at the quarter hour, sir.
We may be. I think I've released all the aggression I need to have today. So, hey, it's 7:48 in the morning. It's 41 degrees. It's going to go up to 60 today. Weather report brought to you by our friends over there at Shasta Gas Propane. And this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Dignity Health Connected Living. You know, for those who are 60 or older, have a loved one that is, Dignity Health Connected Living is offering Active Choices, which is a free 6-month program to help seniors feel active and independent. Give Tim Loomis a call at 226-3059 or just go to Dignity Health Connected Living. We'll be right back after these messages. Phone number here is 605-4567. If you've got something stuck in your craw and you just like to throw it out, yes, give us a call. Because you look so fine that I really want to make you mine. Really want to make you mine. 4, 5, 6, come on and get your kicks. Now you don't need the money when you look like that, do you, honey?
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Real people, real winners, especially on your birthday. Watch for your free play offer in the mail. Didn't get your birthday gift? Come on in to Wind River Resort and Casino on your birthday and collect your free play. Or if you have birthday offers from other casinos, bring them in and we'll match them up to $100 in free play. And to sweeten the deal, you'll also receive triple points on your special day. Download the Wind River app. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino. One birthday gift or free play redeemed per year. Free slot play limited to $100. Real people, real winners. You'll find all your favorite table games at Wind River Resort and Casino. Come and explore our exciting table games and see what California's premier gaming experience is all about. We'll make each gaming experience better than your last. Our friendly dealers provide premier gaming action 24 hours a day. More games, more ways to win, more fun at Wind River Resort and Casino. No one else in town offers this. For all the table games details, download the Wind River app. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Backbone Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
He just made his day. You can never go wrong with Streets of Fire. Hold on a minute.
Beaver Brown Band.
Yeah, never can go wrong with Streets of Fire. Hey, welcome back, everybody. 7:53 in the morning. It's 42 degrees here at KCNR 1460. Let's go to the phones. Jimmy, good morning. Got something stuck in your craw there, buddy?
Hey, I was listening to you talk about these high school kids that were doing the march and how they, came down on them when they edited the film and made it look bad, which they've been doing for years and years on all kinds of things, especially police issues. Well, I was watching George Stephanopoulos yesterday, the day before, and they were talking about how, oh, yeah, we were wrong, you know, the media was wrong, and
George Stephanopoulos said that,
had the audacity to lean in off his high chair and go, and this isn't verbatim, by the way, but he said, I was really surprised to see how adding or taking away video can change the whole context of a story.
Oh, and this guy's a media professional.
Who said
that?
Really? You guys have been doing this for years now.
Who said that? Stephanopoulos?
George Stephanopoulos.
Said he was really surprised to see how just taking a certain cut of the video could add things or take away things, huh?
Carl, I swear on all that I love, He did. Yeah. And
Did he apologize for it?
Not in so many words. That's all he said was, "I was really surprised to see that." I'm like, "Oh my God!"
Did he kind of
really
take back though what they were said to say, "Hey, this looked really bad," and that's not exactly what happened?
Kind of, but they were just saying, you know, oh, it was. Not really.
They can't even say it when they're caught. Yeah. When they're caught out and they're jumping on this to come back and say, "Hey, you know what? We were wrong. Because this, you know, there's much more that happened in that, and we reacted to a release segment that just didn't have the whole story." There's nothing wrong with saying that, unless
right,
you
but I mean,
are,
that's been going on for years.
Yeah. You know, I've apologized, I don't know, many times since I've been on the radio because I've said something that I read, and then it turns out that it was wrong. You know, it just happens. So,
yeah.
But I don't, going after a teenage kid, because he has a Make America Great hat, and he's a Catholic, and he was in the pro. You know what? Of course this is going to happen, if you think about it, Jimmy. Catholic.
You know what else I've noticed
Catholic,
about? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I cut you off?
Yeah, just this one thing. Catholic, pro-life march, Make America Great, white. The kid never had a chance.
Yeah, you know what that's called? That's called profiling.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You know, everybody always complains about profiling, but, you know, if you're a white male conservative, you're automatically a racist.
Yeah. Automatically
and
racist.
One more quick thing before I
sure.
Hang up. The other thing I just despise is when these media, so-called newscasters, are interviewing a conservative Republican, and they'll ask them a question, and halfway through the question, they'll just, you know, talk over them and not let them really get to their point and answer. But if they do that to a left-wing Democrat and they're interviewing them, they'll let that Democrat finish their whole sentence and point.
Pontificate.
Notice that next time. Anyways, guys, thanks. I will be listening off the air.
Okay. Thanks a lot, buddy. Okay.
Hey, this is not a new phenomenon. Do you remember the classic film 1987 Network News with William Hurt and Holly Hunter?
Oh, yeah.
And the way they staged the interview, so he would have these tears, and he summoned up these tears at just the right moment in order to slant the whole interview in a desired direction. And that was so spot on. So for Stephanopoulos to say, "Well, gee, you know, it's funny what happens when you tamper with the film." Any editor knows you can take sunset and turn it into sunrise all day long through the power of editing. If it isn't in the number one rule of editing, if it isn't in the frame, it doesn't exist.
Well, you know, the whole thing here is it hit every angle that the news, that the far left media wants.
Mm-hmm.
It did with abortion. It dealt with Trump. It dealt with white supremacy. It dealt with attacking white supremacist teenagers from, as they've already pointed out, part of the Kavanaugh group. You know, upper class, you know, white kids and attacking downtrodden blacks and Native Americans. I mean, it hit everything. I mean, you couldn't have poised a better situation to be exploited by the media. It had it all.
Let me posit 2 points here. Do you remember when a tweet about an explosion at the White House sent the stock market into a nosedive almost instantly because of these automated trading systems?
Oh, yeah.
And it took 20 minutes for the system to recover, and lots of money went lots of places. Now, marry that concept to the idea of Periscope, Facebook Live, any of these live streaming videos that have no gatekeeper whatsoever on them. And imagine a scenario, let's say, 4 white cops beating up a pregnant migrant woman on camera, viral, and the riots that could be sparked before any sense of reality kicks in.
But you remember the movie Wag the Dog?
Yes.
Where they started a fake war to take the news, you know, and this was under the Clinton thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to run here after this. We're getting ready to have Mike DeQuisto should be joining us right after the news. To talk about what's going on to city council and how he was he made a vote in the Record Searchlight thoroughly mixed up how or why he made this vote. You know, are you okay?
I'm okay. I was just checking the time.
Oh, okay. No, I got the time right here. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebot, KCNR 1460. This is Shasta Redding.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The U.S. Supreme Court will allow the Trump administration to go ahead with plans to restrict military service by transgender people, even as our court challengers are still hurt.
Groups representing transgender troops have sued to stop the Trump administration from overturning an Obama-era policy that allowed them to openly serve. The new policy generally bars transgender individuals from serving, with an exception for troops who relied on the Obama policy to enlist. The 5-4 decision allows the Trump administration to go ahead with those restrictions while the legal challenges are heard.
That's correspondent Wally Hines reporting. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to take up its first gun rights case in 9 years. The court will hear a challenge to a New York City law that prohibits carrying a licensed, locked, and unloaded handgun outside the city limits. The case was filed by city residents who want to be free to carry their licensed weapons to shooting ranges outside the city. The city's attorney says the law allows police to reduce the number of weapons carried in public. Authorities say two pilots are dead after their small plane crashed into the snow-covered front yard of a rural Ohio home. Apple Creek resident Michael Morrison lives nearby and spoke to WEWS-TV.
First you hear a crack, and I'm assuming that's the tree or the telephone pole or something, and then you heard this the crash of it hitting the ground. It wasn't so much an explosion as it was just a boom.
The National Weather Service tracking a new snow system moving from the Midwest toward the Great Lakes.
We do expect to see heavy accumulations over the next several days, and actually the snowfall forecasts are anywhere from 4 to 12 inches from parts of eastern Iowa across far northwestern Illinois, central and southern Wisconsin into the northern portions of the lower peninsula of Michigan and across the upper peninsula of Michigan.
As Bob Horovec at the National Weather Service on Wall Street right now, the Dow is down by 185 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under $1 a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
The Los Angeles teacher strike is now into day six. Here's correspondent Matt Small.
More than 1,000 firefighters in town for a conference from across the U.S. and Canada are expected to march in solidarity with striking educators in Los Angeles today. Tens of thousands of teachers in the nation's second largest school district have been on strike since walking off the job and onto picket lines back on January 14th for the first time in 30 years. Their union and the school district are at odds over issues including salary, class size, and support staff.
That's Matt Small reporting. Americans say natural disasters and their local weather are influencing their views on climate change. That's finding of a new poll released by the Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, and the Energy Policy Institute at the University of Chicago. The poll finds 74% of Americans say hurricanes, droughts, floods, and heat waves have influenced their opinions about climate change over the past 5 years. Breaking news at townhall.com. A study by the World Economic Forum says the U.S. government would stand to benefit from retraining the vast majority of the 1.4 million Americans expected to lose their jobs to technology over the next 10 years.
The WEF, which is holding its annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland, has found that businesses could only profitably retrain 25% of workers replaced by robots and other forms of automation. WEF argues the US government could retrain 77% and still earn back its investment in the form of higher tax revenue and lower costs for unemployment benefits.
That's correspondent Charles de la Desma. U.S. home sales took a nosedive in December, causing price growth to slip to the lowest level in nearly 6 years. A big jump in prescription drug sales helped Johnson & Johnson to a large fourth quarter profit, that after posting a huge loss in the final quarter a year ago. More details on these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. 8:05 and 30 seconds after the hour here on the 22nd of January 2019. The news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring and compassionate in community. That's what Shasta Regional Medical Center stands for right here in Reading. Ashley, what's the weather look like for today and the rest of the week?
We are expecting a high near 59 today with a slight north wind, and then tonight a low around 37, up to 62 tomorrow, and we got slight winds through Thursday. Thursday's going to be our strongest winds, and then it'll clear right up with lows around 42 and highs in the mid-60s.
Okay, weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793. They have discounts for seniors and veterans. It's a veteran-owned business. Shasta Gas and Propane, 365-3792. I think I said three before. Anyway, good morning, everybody. It's 8:06 in the morning. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. I'm sitting here with Michael DeQuisto, who is one of Reading's newest city council people. I can say Reading city councilmen because he's a man.
They probably prefer person or member, but
I don't care. You know what?
I'm a councilman.
A councilman.
I'm a man.
Councilman, because you're male. You're councilman. So,
hey, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Mike?
I'm well today. How are you?
Well, is it what you thought it was going to be?
It's very interesting, and it is. In some respects, it's what I thought it would be, and in some respects, it's different from what I thought it would be. I just went down on the city's dime to what I call baby council member school down in Sacramento. For
baby council member school.
Two and a half days. Well, they call it baby judges school sometimes in the legal profession.
Oh, okay.
But we went down there, and there were 400 or 500 people that were mostly new council members from cities across the whole state.
Wow.
And it was very interesting. They teach you about a lot of different things, some of which you're familiar with, some of which you are not familiar with. But it was good.
Like
it was
what?
Informative.
Like what's one you weren't familiar with?
Well, they teach you about the Brown Act and things you have to do with that. They teach you a lot about housing issues. They teach you a lot about land use issues that the city council will face. A lot of it's overview kind of thing. They teach you, they have a course on sexual harassment, how not to sexually harass. They teach you, have a course on ethics and what's good ethics and what's bad ethics. And it's very interesting. And you also get to network and talk to the other people from different councils and see what issues they have. I spoke to a gentleman from Oroville. Mm-hmm. He talked about a goat ordinance that they have in Oroville for cleaning up their brush areas. We talked to some other people about the campfire and the issues that Paradise is facing and some of the problems with that.
It's 2 years today, right, Ashley, that the spillway.
I believe so.
It's two years ago today that the spillway at Orville.
That became, went over.
Yeah, went over and became that big problem. And they had to evacuate, 70,000 people or something like that?
It was pretty quick. It was sort of like Paradise evacuation.
Yeah, and so and that situation is still going on, too.
I think it is. I think they're still working on fixing it.
The Brown Act, I believe the Brown Act, and this is just my belief, and I could be totally wrong. It's been known to happen before. If the Brown Act is used a lot of times to keep things from moving forward. Oh, we can't do that because of the Brown Act. Oh, we can't do this. Why can't I have three of you in here talking? Oh, because if three of us are on there on the stage talking about city, about, you know, asking questions, it's a Brown Act. We can't do it because it's three people. Oh, my God.
So if you give three lawyers the Brown Act to look at and give them a sample scenario, you'll probably get four different answers as to whether something does or doesn't violate the Brown Act. There's some pretty clear examples that do violate it. You can't have three people get together and say, let's talk about this issue and we're going to all agree to vote a certain way without doing that in public. And I think that's probably fair.
Can you do it one at a time?
Well, that gets into what they call serial meetings, and that's a little different as to whether you can or can't do it. And so that's where a lot of the issues come along, and somebody brings up a subject to you and they say, well, have you spoken to another council member about this, yes or no? And, you know, maybe they said the same thing. Maybe they said something slightly different. Maybe they just heard something. And the interesting thing is there are penalties for it, but I'm not aware of anybody that's ever been prosecuted or had a charge brought against them for violating the Brown Act.
So you can't just, you and I are going out fishing, and I'm on the city council. You're on the city council. Hey, what do you think about this? Blah, 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 blah.
Two of us can.
Yeah, and then a week later, you see Adam McElvain at a crab feed, and you sit there talking, and Adam brings it up, and so you two talk about it.
If Adam brings it up, I'm supposed to say no. If Adam brings it up, I'm supposed to say I've already had a discussion about this. We need to talk about something else. Otherwise, that would be three talking, even though Adam brought it on his own. But here's the interesting part.
That's so weird.
It is weird. You can't violate the Brown Act because you're not on the council. So nothing prevents you or any other citizen from coming and saying, hey, Adam, hey, Julie, hey, Michael, hey, Aaron, hey,
what do you think about this?
What do you think about this? And then lobbying everybody. And that individual, we're still not supposed to talk with more than one other person about it. But the individual who, because they're not on the council, they don't violate the Brown Act.
So I can come in and talk to you. I can turn around and I can go down to Dutch Bros and see Aaron and say, hey, Aaron, I've been thinking about this. I think this is a great idea, blah, blah, blah. Hey, I talked to Mike and he thought it was a great idea too.
That gets a little, well, you could say. I'm not giving legal advice on that, but
I understand, but I'm just saying, is the Brown Act seems like it's thrown out there all the time. Oh, can't do this because of the Brown Act. And I have other people just like you say, well, that Brown Act can be looked at in different ways.
Well, I mean, I look at it this way. If three of us go to the Chamber of Commerce gala that they're putting on this Friday, and we sit and we talk about our kids and about our cars and about school and about anything besides the city council, that's not a violation of the Brown Act, even though there's three people that are there. And there's some other exceptions to it.
I see.
Too. So, but yeah, it can be used to kind of slow things down, but that's the way the legislature wants it for the benefit of the public.
I have this one question I have to ask since you didn't answer me when I texted it to you. How much did the signs that went up saying that you could do any you could camp in the park, you could bring dogs in the park, you could publicly fornicate in the park, you could do all those things?
I don't think it said fornicate.
Well, it might as well have, because that's what happens. And it said all these things you could do in the park. Well, how much did that cost us taxpayers?
I don't have an answer for that yet.
Tell everybody, because you're the one you brought it up. So,
well, let me say what I did and what the purpose was. We had been waiting for these signs for quite a while, and it was part of the enhanced enforcement program for the parks and the transients and the street people and the criminals, whatever you want to call them. And they needed to put the signs up. So it turned out that the signs didn't go up right away because they had to order more blank signs, and the signs were printed in-house. So they get the blank signs in, they put the signs up, and I saw it one day, and I took a picture, and I said, this is great. The sign is up. This is wonderful. And frankly, I hadn't read the sign because I assumed it would be complete.
How long did it take?
I looked at it, and my wife looked at it, and right away I said the word prohibited is missing, and I'm not sure the code section is right, so I put that up. And it turned into a big kerfuffle. And it's not so much about the signs. And there were a number of people that didn't do exactly what they should have done to cause that to be created that way. And it doesn't do any good to call anybody out over it. And they have been fixed. I don't know what the cost was to fix it. And hopefully we can move forward.
It's like the sign you see on the sidewalk, you know, on the crossing, school, and it's spelled wrong. You know, S-H-C-O-O-O-L. You know, this is kind of like, come on. I mean, this is a sign that's supposed to say you can't do this stuff, and they leave that word off, prohibited. You know, and I saw some of the funniest comments as you did, I'm sure. I'm sure it wasn't quite as funny to you as it was to me. Things about, oh boy, I get to go down there. Now I know exactly what I can do in the park. It says it right on the sign.
People can make mistakes, but it's also an example of some of the attitude of people down at City Hall and the people who were responsible, which is, I think crime is serious, and I think this is an important step, and it should have been handled more seriously than it was, and clearly more than one person dropped the ball on it. But new signs are up now, and we can all move on from there and go forward.
Well, like I said, I've got to take a break now, but I want to talk more about this because I've got several questions rolling through the chat room. Hey,
sure.
Michael DeQuisto, our Reading City Councilman, one of our newest ones here, he along with Aaron Reznor, is on the show today. If you have questions for Mike, for Michael, give us a call at 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers. Home Helpers, whether it's 2 hours a day or 24 hours a day, it's Home Helpers that you should call at 226-8350. Why? Because Sharon will come out to your home. She'll sit down with you, give you a free consultation. She will put together a program that works for you and your family. Whether it's surgery and you just need somebody for, a couple of weeks, or if it's long-term care, Sharon Clark. Learn more at readinghomehelpers.com, or again, give her a call, 226-8350. We'll be right back with Michael DeQuisto.
Strong and Getty. Check out our show on the new 2019 lineup on KCNR 1460 AM and soon to be 96.5 FM.
That's 9 to 12 daily.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
After the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up to 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435.
Smokers, is it your New Year's resolution to quit smoking this year? Have you considered vaping as an alternative? If you have questions about vaping, go see the folks at NorCal Vape, Reading's vaping experts. For over 5 years, NorCal Vape has been your premier vape shop and lounge, located at 1700 California Street in the heart of downtown Reading. NorCal Vape provides you with the best customer service and product knowledge. They specialize in going above and beyond for you. They treat their customers like family. They will walk you through every step of the process. NorCal Vape, located in downtown Reading.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. We are living in a prophetic time when the insolent will rule and the morally corrupt will make the laws of the land. The young, who have not been taught right from wrong and whose minds have been poisoned, will lead those who are being deceived. People will sink into despair, and the eyes of their understanding will remain blind to the only way of escape. Only through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ will they find the peace they are seeking. It's vital you attend a church that will help you learn how to apply God's Word in your everyday life while living in this world. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR 1468, 19 in the morning here on the 22nd of January 2019. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at State Farm Insurance. Jeff Avery, located at 1822 Bonaventura Boulevard in the Suite 107. His primary focus is on life, home, business, and auto insurance. Jeff and his team have over 50 years of combined experience and are available 24/7 because they know life doesn't happen just between Monday through Friday between 9 and 5, which is really a good, that's kind of a really good, attitude on life. So you can give him a call at 243-4600. Jeff Avery, State Farm Insurance Agent. Okay, I'm with Michael DeQuisto in here. And Mike, I've got all these questions lining up here in the chat room. And one of the things that I want to see where we're at here. I guess when he talks about fire horns or a way of, fire horns and people next to the brush lines. I was thinking, fire horns, but I think the bottom line is, are we working on a better way of getting the word out to people in case of an emergency in this town?
That's a good question. And a lot
still
of that
still too early.
it's still a little bit early to figure out if there's a better way to go do it or not. There was a plan in place, as I understand it. There's three or four different mechanisms that can be used to notify residents, with like a reverse text on your phone and
reverse 911. I've gotten phone calls about people in the neighborhood over that.
But I'm not sure that there's one agency or one entity that's responsible for it. I think different people can make the call to use that particular system, and I think that's part of the problem when you have
they have sirens down in Oklahoma, in Tornado Alley down there. That the sirens go off and gives people, a couple minutes to get down to shelters and everything. Something like that help?
Absolutely. Sometimes old technology is better than new technology.
All it takes is somebody hit the button and the sirens go off. It tells people you've got to get out of it could go off in 3 means you've got 30 minutes. 2 means get out.
Or if it just goes off, it means get out.
Whatever. Get out. Get out. Pack your stuff and get out.
Old technology is not always bad.
Okay.
So yeah,
you would look at.
Absolutely. Man. Absolutely.
Okay. Yesterday, let's drop on down to a couple other things. It looks like people are still camping everywhere. They're ignoring the signs. What happens now?
The police should go out and enforce the ordinances. Well, there's technically one ordinance that we passed at the last meeting, which has a 30-day waiting period, and that's going to be up the middle of February.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still other ordinances that they violate. The police should go out and enforce it and keep enforcing it. There aren't some more jail beds now, I believe, and so there should be some consequences.
102 more jail beds.
And there's like 12 of them that are going to be tied up with
the
50 time failure to appear kind of person.
The worst of the worst. They can keep them in jail until they can get them to trial and then send them off to prison.
So that part's good. I do understand the police say that they need more people and they need more resources. It would seem to me, and I'm not trying to second guess the police chief, is that if you go through once and you clean them all out, you then station somebody down there 24/7, and another person shows up with a tent, and the person says, you can't put a tent up. You need to leave, or you need to stay here without your tent. You can't do this. And instead of just letting them come back, it's an eyesore. It bothers people. It adds to the perception that people have and some of the reality of this quality of life crime, and people just don't care. I mean, I couldn't go put a tent up down there. I wouldn't go put a tent, and I'd get in trouble and get arrested and have to pay a fine. Same thing for you. Why do other people get to go do that?
Well, the thing is they've tied it to the Good News Rescue Mission. And as long as the Good News Rescue Mission has room at the inn, supposedly it's illegal for them to camp.
Well, as I understand it, the Good News Rescue Mission does have room at the inn.
They've
had it for a long time. I met with Jonathan Anderson. He said, we're not at capacity. And I also understand their 30-day in, 30-day out program is not religious-based. If you show up and you want to go to school or you want to get trained, they're more than happy to go do that to help you get off the streets without making it religious based. So I, that's a pretty low barrier shelter, and it's free. So I don't know why people don't take more advantage of it.
Last week in the city council, the city council voted 4-1 to conduct a study on raising permit fees, taking money from TOT and from the parks to raise $800,000 to fund the neighborhood police unit and three firefighters.
Correct. Well, let me.
Okay,
Let me try it this way.
What did you your take on this one?
Before the election, the city knew that those seven positions were going to run out of funding, and so they came up with, to the last council, a proposal to fund them. And the proposal to fund them was to look in areas that the general fund supposedly supplemented to make those different areas in the city self-sufficient, so you'd have to raise the fees in those areas. And that was the premise. And the council approved that, so Mr. Tippin and the staff have gone forward and done that. It's come back once or twice again. The difficulty, and the proposal from Mr. Tippin and from the staff, was that they raised the building permit fees, but it's not exactly the fees. They raised the planning department fees, they raised the recreation fees, and they take some money from the transient occupancy tax and reallocate it. I got no problem with the transient occupancy tax reallocating it. The Cascade Wonderland people said that was fine. They'd kick $100,000 back in, so that gets you down to $700,000. The difficulty I have is that nowhere in that proposal does it say we will try to cut one penny from anywhere in the city's budget. It wasn't even presented as an option for the council to consider. And that was where I had the beef, and I said, I'm not going to vote for this proposal the way it's set forward right now. As I understand it, the positions are going to be funded somehow. We've approved them. There's going to be advertisements go out or whatever they need to do to recruit people for them. So there's no question the positions are going to be there. The question is, how do you pay for it? And I find it to be disrespectful to the citizens to just say, we're going to increase fees, we're going to increase costs, we're going to impose taxes. They're not taxes, they're fees. But the gist is you're taking money from the citizens to pay for police and fire.
You're raising, from what I understand, raising some of the costs at the recreational areas so that, you know, instead of paying $5, you're paying $45 and those kind of things.
$45 to $50 or $40 to $45.
So here's my question then is, you've been there, 2 months now?
A couple months.
Is it, Ken Murray yesterday claimed that it was cut to the bone already, that there is no money to do cut out of other departments. Do you believe that?
No, absolutely not. The city's. Well, let me just. At that same meeting, before this, they had a report from the auditor, a yearly report where they talk about the city's financial condition. And they had originally put that report on the consent calendar, which means it would go through without any exposure to the public. And I didn't think that was proper. I thought the public needed to know. So I asked a few questions about that, and interestingly enough, nobody has really reported on this. The Record Searchlight didn't. Nobody else did. Last year, the general fund revenue and expenses, the expenses were $9 million over the revenue, actually $9.9 million. So the general fund lost $10 million. How did it lose it, and where to get the replacement money from? I'm still working to try to figure that out.
Wait a minute. You're saying that everything it said in the Record Searchlight and from the city departments, the department heads, was that we were on a balanced budget here. That's not true? You're saying
a balanced budget is one thing. This report was the actual numbers for the 12 months ending June 30th, 2018. So for those 12 months period, the way they calculated it, the revenue into the general fund was like $54 million and it spent $64 million,
How can we do that? Where'd they get that extra $9 million from?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I call it government accounting. There's more to it than that. And these go to the reasons why I said we need cuts. There's another item in that report, and none of this included car fire expenses because it ended June 30th and the car fire hadn't happened until July.
Right.
So there's another reason, another item that's in the auditor's report, and it says that they expect to spend $20 to $25 million to rebuild the infrastructure from the fire. And they expect to get back all of it but 6% or 6.25%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you multiply those numbers out, that comes out to $1 to $1.5 million. If that money doesn't come back, that's another loss of revenue that has to be paid for from somewhere. I don't see that anywhere in the budget. There are other items they've talked about where they're not sure how much property tax they're going to get in the January.
Well, from what I understand, is Shasta County, from the sheriff, says they're concerned about the number of homes that were burned and the loss of property tax because everything goes way down.
It's a huge item, and
you've got cities, you've got property right here in Redding, several properties in Redding that were destroyed.
It's a huge item, and I don't see that. So when you know you're facing those issues for future income problems, and you're not willing to look at any expense, and your answer is we've cut to the bone, I don't believe it. I don't believe you've cut to the bone. And we can talk when you come back if you want. I have some suggestions about how to get back to where we want to go. And
I'd like to hear that, and I'm sure everybody would. I've got all types of other suggestions here: privatization, taking the CV.
Hiring freeze.
Going back to, and people aren't going to like this, but going back to every other week, people being off every other week.
The principal point, and we'll talk about the suggestions, is that it's for the city council to decide what steps to take, and there should be some proposal somewhere for cuts. Now, that may come up later in the budget discussion that we're going to have in the next couple of weeks as well. But it needs to be on the table. And if it's not, I think it's a disservice to the citizens and a disservice to the people that voted for me and that want some kind of accountability and transparency.
Okay. It's 8:30 in the morning here. We're with Redding City Councilman Michael DeQuisto. He's saying that there's, you know, before we vote to raise permit fees and take money from other places, why didn't we at the same time say we're going to look at pulling money or moving, shifting funds in the existing budget? That were $10 million over as of July or June of 2018, and where's that money coming from, plus a number of other ideas, a plethora of problems we're facing. This portion of the show, however, is brought to you by River Commons Senior Living, and they have a great time down there because it's like a little mini cruise ship at 301 Hartnell Avenue, gourmet chef, activities director. These are people that want to go out and have a good time. They don't like cutting the grass. They don't like doing the dishes, so they don't. They're at River Commons Senior Living. Learn more at 238-5981, or just call Brian and ask to come on down. Hey, let's have a lunch with them and talk to the people at River Commons. They have a great time there. It's worry less, smile more at River Commons and Senior Living. We'll be right back with Michael DeQuisto after these messages.
Get your morning update with us.
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 96003.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Good morning, everybody. It's 8:35 in the morning here in the studio. It's the KCNR 1460. It's 45 degrees, going up to almost 60 today. It's a beautiful day. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's Last Stronghold. Give a call for an appointment there. They started the new appointments only. And then you can just walk in, get your hair cut, and walk out instead of waiting for 20, 30, 40 minutes. Of course, if you want to, you can get in there early and catch up on all your reading at Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens. We're here with Ready City Councilman Michael DeQuisto, and we've got all these types of comments in here. Oh, gosh. What if we got rid of the City of Reading City Charter and just let the county run everything? We could get rid of all the executive staff, police, and fire chief salaries. That would be a major cost savings.
There's a lot of proposals that you can look at, some of which are feasible and some of which
I'm not sure who that was.
Let me give a couple ideas here for what the city can look at to do. If you look at the budget for 2017 to 2018, there's a column in the budget. It's called materials, supplies, and services. And so that doesn't include salaries of any kind. And that comes out, if you take out police and fire for the year, that comes out to $9.6 million. That the city spent on those various items as it's broken down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you just say 5% of that, that's almost $500,000. That's a cut. And I've started to look into whether that could be done or not, and I've gotten some information from the various departments, and that's something we'll probably be discussing at our budget meetings that are starting at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard for me to understand and to imagine that every single job there is critical and every single thing there can't be changed and nobody can save 5 cents on anything, and we're cut to the bone. Maybe we are, and if we are, then you have other choices, but I don't think that's true.
I would be interested to see what happened under that furlough thing. Remember, there were people working, I think it was every other Friday was shut down. Well, what if we just shut down one Friday a month? How much money would we save, and really, what would we lose with that?
Well, so one of the things is furloughs or layoffs. Nobody wants to do a layoff if you don't have to,
mm-hmm.
but the city is living beyond its means, and it needs to do something to cut its expenses. My gut reaction, without looking at it, is without having looked at all the different departments, is to say if you're going to make cuts or furloughs, you do it across the board. Not with police and fire, because you need those people, but you do it with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And you make everybody share equally. And if the furlough results in a 5% wage decrease, that should apply across the board to management as well. It should be everybody to do that. And you could easily easily generate enough money to pay for those seven positions without a problem. And if you lose people, you lose people. I'm not sure that you would lose people. Anecdotally, I've heard that the city employees actually didn't mind having every
That's
other Friday
what I heard.
Off.
In fact, I heard that when they came back. They said, hey, can we work this so we get a four-day, 10-hour work week? But, you know, I wasn't there. I wasn't
I'm not
part
sure
of them.
4 days, 10 hours saves you anything because that's still 40 hours.
Of course it doesn't. It's still 40 hours, but they wanted that Friday off. They like that.
Maybe a hiring freeze.
Well, hiring freeze, and as people slowly attrit. But I think that depends on positions.
It does. And there are also, if you have a hiring freeze and somebody leaves a position, there's seniority rules in the union contracts that allow people mm-hmm. to move up from the lower ranks. So you may not save the complete value of that position. You may just save the new lower entry starting person coming in is where it all winds up.
What do you think about the, this has come up several, it's come up and failed, as you know, several times, is the citywide tax increase on sales tax by a half a cent.
There may be a day when that is the last option that's available. I don't think I'm not personally convinced that we're at that day yet. And I think the biggest problem that you have is that all the government entities are more than happy to do it. The business people are maybe lukewarm, maybe they want it. There's a group of people that will support it. But you need the citizens, the voters, to say, yes, we're in favor of it. And mm-hmm. I still think that the city doesn't have the trust of the voters to go do this. Just look at this. Look at how much response you get for why aren't you putting any cuts on the table. And to say there's no cuts we can put anywhere and to have that be your position, given the size of the budget and the other issues, people just don't believe it. It may be true. I don't necessarily believe it right now, but it may be true. And if it is true, then you show the people and you try to get their trust back. And if you get enough trust back, that's when you would try to get a sales tax raise. But you understand, the other problem is, with as much money as we owe in the pensions, $300-some billion, you could raise the sales tax a half a cent, and all you're doing is delaying the ultimate time when you don't have enough money to pay for your pension bill to count mm-hmm. first. That's really all you're doing. You're sort of kicking the can down the road. You could improve some of the current conditions. You could hire more police. You could get more jail beds. There's no question that would help. You could probably increase the fire department staffing and maybe give some money to the DA so they could prosecute. So there's no question that would help alleviate the current problem, but I don't know that you can tax your way out of the long-term pension issue. That's a whole separate.
Oh yeah, that's a whole different subject. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning. You have a question for Mr. DeQuisto.
I do. Hey, Michael, how you doing? Great job, buddy.
Thank you.
We had Brian Dalian last night, who's running for Senate. Two things real quick about that. Number one, it was surprising that he asked to speak to us, and they've been setting this up for around a month. But he was very candid about some things. I've known Brian for a long time, and it seems to me when he's extremely worried and lets people know about the budget and the unfunded liability we have in the state of California, that I think that Michael DeQuisto is absolutely correct when he's talking about the unfunded liability. When you have a man who's running for Senate who comes and tells you California is in dire straits, especially with the unfunded liability, and we're a microcosm of that here, I think that that Michael's right. We've got to find some places to cut. That's number one. And number two, and I know you can't say this, Michael, and I don't expect you to, but I certainly would like to hear, and you've maybe already done this, Carl, because I'm sure you thought of this, and you've probably done this already, but I'd love to hear what Erin Reznor has to say about this. I'm very surprised that she would have not tried to look for some cuts, and I'm also surprised in McElvain, frankly, so I'm a little taken back by some of this.
Well,
by,
we're working to get them on, too.
Oh, I figured you were, buddy. Okay, anyway, good show, and Michael, thank you. You're showing some really good common sense there, but I want to let you guys know that he's on the right track. We heard it all last night from our assemblyman, from Assemblyman Dalek. We are in dire straits with this unfunded liability deal.
Okay, Terry, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
In fact, when Brian was on our show earlier this month, he said this thing is you're going to be seeing cities in California in the next 2 years are going to be going into bankruptcy because of this unfunded liability that you brought up. But it's that 600-pound gorilla that's sitting on the table.
There's no question. I mean, if you really want to be successful, if you could find a way to solve that problem, that would probably help guarantee putting the city on some good financial footing. One issue that I would have to say, excuse me, and the record searchlight wasn't exactly correct in this, is that it is not a done deal that these fees are going to be increased. And it's not a done deal that there won't be some expenses mm-hmm. that get cut, because the issue is going to come back again. The question is, are there three members on the city council that are willing to at least get some cuts in the proposal and entertain those cuts? So when it comes back again, they could say, well, these are fine, give us some more choices. Or they could just say, no, we're going to agree to vote and increase the fees.
Well, you know,
I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, there's all types of things coming in here. One of them is that Michael is a bankruptcy attorney. I would expect his answer to, for the unfunded pensions, just say, not pay it. He's a big smile on his face, but he's not answering this one. That was just a comment from the chat room here. We're here with Michael DeQuist. We're going to take a quick break. It's about 8:45 in the morning here. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, located in the heart of downtown Reading. You know, if you know that Shasta Regional Medical Center has started a program where they have 21 beds for those people that are, they call, you know, the 5150s, who are in danger to themselves and others. They have 21 beds they've set aside that they are bringing these people in, making our community safer, helping these people get back on track, getting them back on their meds, and holding them there and keeping them there for 3 days and sometimes longer to help them get back and manageable there. Not only that, but they've been doing a number of other things that help our community right here at Shasta Regional Medical Center. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community's choice. We'll be right back after these messages with Michael DeQuisto, Reading City Councilman. 45 degrees out there. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Give us a call.
Are you ready for cage fights at Wind River Resort and Casino? The best place in Northern California to offer MMA cage fighting. Fight Night 40. This intense action-packed fight is presented by Wind River Resort and Casino and Rogue Fights. Extreme mixed martial arts cage fighting at the Event Center on Saturday, January 26th. It's in the cage. Full contact fighting, no limits. Bringing you another night of extreme fighting in Reading. Amateur, title, and pro fights. This event sells out. Get your tickets now. Call 1-800-280-U. Win to reserve a room in our hotel. Up to 12 bouts of MMA in the cage on Saturday, January 26th. The Event Center will roar with the thrill of extreme cage fights Wind River Resort and Casino is bringing you. Don't miss this event. Get your tickets now online or at the River Club. Great entertainment is happening with Fight Night 40 at Wind River Resort and Casino. Must be 21 to attend. Download the Wind River app. It's playtime all the time at Wind River Resort and Casino. Fight Night 40. It's in the cage. The Event Center, Wind River Resort and Casino.
The holidays. Whether you're eating solo or treating your family, Pasta Pronto is here for you. It's a fabulous approach to traditional Italian food. Pasta Pronto is committed to provide fresh, satisfying meals and fast, friendly service in an upbeat setting. Pasta Pronto is family-owned. Martin and his staff will treat each guest as a valued friend, with comfort and satisfaction their highest priority. Pasta Pronto, 920 Hilltop, next to Reading Sports.
Hey there, we're Armstrong and Getty. Check out our show on the new 2019 lineup on KCNR 1460 AM and soon to be 96.5 FM.
That's 9 to 12 daily.
Some combinations were just meant to go together. Chips and salsa, refrigerator and freezer, the internet and cat videos. At State Farm, there's another combination meant to go together, home and auto. As in combining your home and auto insurance with one agent, which leads to another combination, saving dollars and cents. Your State Farm agent is here to help life go right. Combine home and auto and see how much you can save.
Contact Jeff Avery at 243-4600. License number 0D09479.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit PVA.org.
Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call, 605-4567.
Eight forty-nine here in the studios at KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends right here, Ashley and Bob, bringing us this portion of the show. I'm here with Michael DeQuisto, Redding City Councilman, and we're going to we need to talk about here in our last 10 minutes two big subjects. One is low barrier housing for the homeless.
So I understand that the county is working on a proposal to build one of those shelters and have it run by a nonprofit, I think, or volunteers. I've spoken to Joe Comeni briefly about it.
Uh-huh.
My initial reaction is I have more questions than answers, which is, what are the rules going to be? What does it require? How long can you stay? What's the purpose and what's the point? And have these types of things worked in any other communities?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just, you know, wasting your time going to do it? One of the hard issues is I have no problem giving a hand up. It's giving a hand out. And if you give somebody something and they have no skin in the game, they don't have much incentive to take care of it.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Jean, good morning.
Morning. I have a question with Michael on the unfunded liabilities of the pensions. When we were on Social Security, everybody had to reach a retirement age before you could retire. Right now, we have three men that we are paying their retirement on. Warren and can't remember his name right off the bat.
Kurt Starman.
Kurt Starman and our present one. And so we're paying them all, three people for one position. And this is why can't we take all of these pensions all over everything? State, federal, county, city, all over, put that money into the Social Security, and everybody draws Social Security, and you don't draw it till you're 67. And because everyone's dying with these pensions.
Okay. Thanks, Gene.
That's a good question, and it's not that easy to answer, but I'll try. I believe when you sign up for the city and you sign up for employment, you can choose to stay on Social Security or you can choose to go to PERS. But I don't think you can do both. And so many people have chosen to go to PERS because of the benefits that have been provided. The second part of the question is the people that you're paying who aren't working because they're now retired, that's the deal that was made. And that's what the council has agreed to. That's the proposal that's been made.
You can't break the deal you already made.
I'm not in favor of breaking deals that you've already made. I don't think that's a good idea.
I don't think you can do that. But here's my question, and she's got a very good question. We're paying Mike Warren and Kurt Starman and Eric, but we're also paying five police chiefs, and all of them are 50s. Well, not all of them, of course, but in their 50s, they're not anywhere. Most of them are not even close to being 65 or 67, and they're getting paid. This continuous pain like this is draining us. Now, a police chief, I can understand, you know, you say, or a police officer, you say, well, do you want a 55-year-old out on the streets rolling around? No, of course not.
Yeah.
But a police chief who is not going to be on the streets rolling around, hopefully, if it comes to that, well, then, you know, that happens now and then, stay in shape. But they're retiring at age 52, 54. And they're drawing this money until they die. Which, if you just look at averages, is going to be for another 30 years. Have we done anything to look at that? I know we're talking about raising it to 57 when they can retire and all these things, but even the Marine Corps changed its system.
The state has changed its law a few years ago to slightly basically for new hires, hoping that that would solve the problem in the future. It hasn't done anything realistic for current hires. There's a few cases pending before the Supreme Court which talk about whether you can actually renegotiate some of these things or whether they're written in stone is, in essence, what you
want. Well, San Diego's fighting it right now, I understand. They're fighting this PERS thing. I'm going to change back to the South City Park again. There's a meeting tomorrow night to talk about how do we rejuvenate South City Park. Here's a gentleman that says, you know, I live in the neighborhood adjacent to South City Park, and what you've done is you've chased them into my neighborhood. They're jumping our fences. They're stealing everything that they can possibly steal, and now we're trying to figure out a way to make South City Park more vibrant. Why aren't we using that money, essentially, I'm paraphrasing what he says, why aren't we using that money to revitalize the park and putting the police out in their neighborhood to chase these guys out of there?
Well, it's a good question, and it gets back to what I talked about earlier, which is we need more police. We need at least to keep the fire department currently staffed, and if the money has to come from other areas of the city budget, or you have to outsource, or you have to get rid of some people, or you have to furlough, that's what needs to get done. That's the choice. That's the hard choice that needs to be presented to the council, and hopefully you can find three people or four or maybe five who agree on some way to do that so you can hire more people to work on it. Is it going to solve the problem? No. Anybody tells you it's going to solve the problem is not telling you accurately. Will it help the problem? I sure hope so.
Do you see an overall problem? We've got 5 minutes left. Do you see an overall plan to take control of our city? Have you seen that since you've been there? I mean, I know that we're fighting it. You know, you've got to have a strategic plan. I think probably Barry's probably got an idea. You have to have a strategic plan. Where are we going to be in 5 years? And if you could lay this plan out to everybody, this is where we're going to be in 5 years. This is how we're going to do it. One, we're going to take the parks back. Okay, two, we're going to have these low-barrier facilities. But you've got to be a resident of Shasta County. You know, you've got to have some skin in the game. Three, we're going to have more patrols out on the streets because we know if you have more boots on the ground, you've got less crime. Is there a plan like this?
Other than the blueprint for public safety that the city spent $150,000 on a couple years ago, I'm not aware of it, and I'm not really in favor of another study for another plan.
Thank you.
It seems pretty obvious what you have to go do. You need more jail beds. You need more police officers, and that's the part of the equation that I think that money should be spent on. And I said it when I was campaigning, and I still say it now. And unfortunately, there isn't a plan to go do that I know of. But if you don't solve this crime problem and you don't make people feel like they're safe, then you're not going to have anything in this city. It's going to change dramatically. It's going to turn into Sacramento or San Francisco. You're going to have tents everywhere, and it's going to look terrible.
I should give you the number of a friend of ours who is a wife of a doctor here. They had to make up their mind whether they were going to stay in Reading, and they chose to stay in Reading. But she told me the other day she's out there recruiting other doctors' wives, and it is just almost impossible. It's not the doctors. It's their wives that read this stuff about what's going on up here in Reading, and they say, well, I don't want to move up there. It's just too dangerous. And she tries to tell them, no, it's not that dangerous. Okay, yeah, it looks bad, but it's not as bad as San Diego or San Francisco or any of these other places, and it isn't. However, what people see, Reading, top five places in the United States to get your car stolen. The whole thing is one of perception, but the perception is horrible. Okay, we've got Monique on the line. Good morning, Monique. Do you have a question for Michael DeQuisto?
Hi, good morning. I'm listening to you guys, and I am so overjoyed, Mr. DeQuisto. Thank you so much for putting yourself out there and doing things on my behalf, on our community's behalf, and I'm listening to you guys, and I understand. What I hear is that you are conversating with Mr. Comente from the boards, and that makes me feel like we are now getting things done that are for real. And one thing that I think needs to be hit on, there's a whole lot of funding, AB 109 funding, that was, I believe, maybe not used appropriately. And I think if we could have a conversation with the county and figure out what those monies are and how they can best be spent for individuals like the probation department. We've got a lot of people who are being picked up every single day for multiple probation violations. I think this is also a part of solving our bigger issue because the issue is very multifaceted and we need to not bottleneck. We need to pay attention to all parts of this very multifaceted problem we face.
Monique, we're running out of time here, but what you said is so important. I thoroughly agree with you.
And I'm shaking.
Well, I can tell. I can tell right there. I can hear it in your voice. But thank you so much for your phone call, because we want to get the community partnership, you know, crime partnership thing on the lady that heads it up from the probation department, because there is millions out there. How are they being spent, and how aren't they being spent?
Thank you, Monique. I think that's a perfectly fair question, and it's something that needs to be looked at. The funding for that is a county issue, not a city issue, but it's certainly a community issue. And when I say that the city needs to look on cutting expenses, I think the county needs to look at that as well. They may not have as much room, but they also need to look at reallocating the money they're getting. As I understand it, the AB 109 money is not... It's not particularly specified as to where it has to go. But anyway, I want to thank Carl for having me on this morning.
Well, you know what, Mike? Let me just say this. I called you yesterday and said, hey, you know, you were misquoted in the paper. I haven't had you on. Can you make it today? And you made time in your schedule. And it's been really a good show. This is something I could play again for people to hear some of the, you know, hear what your ideas are. And now I need to get the rest of our city council people and ask them about what it is. Okay, everybody. Tomorrow we're talking Veterans Affairs and much more. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?